It is wonderful to be here to worship God in spirit and truth. I know I say it every week, but it's true, is it not? That we should be thankful that we could come together as the body of Christ to remember the sacrifice that He made on the cross as we partake of the memorial meal, which is the reason we're here. And we also sing songs of praise to God as we see in Scripture. It's on. Let me raise it up a little bit. Jim, turn me up. Randy's saying he can't hear me. But as we get together today to worship God, right, it's such an honor that we have this opportunity. I know we have some visitors amongst us here today, and so we thank you for being here. You're, as we often say, our honored guests. If we can answer any questions that you may have at the conclusion of our worship service, please allow us to do so. I'd love to be able to answer those questions for you. Because I know if you're maybe from a different form of Christianity, a denomination, maybe what we're doing here looks different than maybe what you're used to, and you're wondering why that is. We can answer those questions for you. If you look on the screen behind me, racism, prejudice, ignorance of man. This is the lesson that we're going to look at as we get into this lesson here today. And the question you may ask is why? Well, I want you to think back to last week's lesson, right? Where do we draw our strength from? And then as we were going through that lesson, we quickly learned that, well, we live in a fallen world, right? And because we live in a fallen world, there's certain consequences that come along with those things. And so what do we see? We see things like pride, prejudice, racism, and every other form of ignorance that's, well, under the sun. And so we see these things because we live in a fallen world. And I'm not going to stand up here and pretend like this is an easy topic or that there's an easy fix, but I can tell you that if we're willing to do our parts, that we can bring about change in the world, amen? If we're willing to do our parts, and we're going to talk about what that part is as we move forward, you're going to quickly see that we can institute change. And it's going to be slow, methodical change, but it'll be change one soul at a time. And I say one soul at a time because last time I checked, aren't you supposed to go out into the world to seek and save lost souls, to teach them about the love of Christ? And so, friends and family, we're going to look at racism, prejudice, and ignorance of man here today. One of the first passages that I want us to look at as we turn and we open up the Scriptures is that in order to fix the ignorance of man, in order to fix the problems that we see, we can't rely on man for the answers. Because it was man who caused this problem in the first place because of pride and evil desires. And so who do we have to look to in order to institute change when we talk about pride and prejudice and racism? Who do we have to look to? Where do we look? We look within the Word of God. We open up His Word, and I see this first passage of Scripture on the screen behind me. Did you know that it says in Jeremiah 10 and 23, that I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, for it is not within a man who walks to direct his own steps. And yet oftentimes we're looking to the politicians to fix the ills of society. And last time I checked, when I read the Scriptures, God says that a man's heart is evil continuously and that it's not within a man to walk to direct his own steps. So why would we look to other men for a solution to said problem? You see, friends and family, I want us to look to what God has to say. And when we look to what God has to say, we start to quickly realize that Jesus kind of told us this was going to happen. And I want you to not hear my words this morning, but I want you to hear what Jesus had to say. Notice this next passage in Mark chapter 7, as we look at verses 21 through 23. Notice what Jesus says about man. Out of the heart of men, it proceeds evil thoughts, fornications, thefts and murders and adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, evil, slander, pride, foolishness, and all these evil things proceed from within and defile mankind. Based on the words of Jesus, do you understand? Do you understand why it's not within a man to direct his own steps? Because within a man comes pride and evil thoughts and murders and thefts and sexual immorality and every form of evil that's known to man. So can you now see why you can't look to man to fix the problem? You can't look to man for the answers, because man's part of the problem, the biggest part of the problem. So friends and family, we could slowly and methodically improve the situation, but it's going to take each and every one of us doing what God requires of us. And I wonder how often we actually do that. And we're going to talk about that statement a little further down the line here tonight or today. And so before I get too far into this lesson, where does this lesson come from? Well, this past week on Wednesday, I was teaching the teens, and I was having some conversation. We were going over a Bible study, but then towards the end of the class, we only had a few more minutes, and we started talking about the evil of prejudices, the evil that prejudice is, right? And then after we talked about that for a minute, I made the statement that, you know, I really can't stand racism. And then when I asked them about racism, I said, but I got a question for you. I said, how many races are there? And they all said, many. But then it was followed up by, I think. So they all said that there's many races, I think. And so, brethren, it's important to understand then what the Word of God says. So then throughout the week, I said, I wonder what other people say. So I asked other people, not just teens. And you know what people said? There's many races. I said, okay, really? Huh. I said, well, tune into my lesson on Sunday, because I'm going to talk about this. And so as we look at this here this morning, brethren, towards the end of that class, we had some really good conversation, and we're going to pick that conversation back up on Wednesday. So I wanted to preach today on this as kind of like a precursor to what is to come as we talk about this on Wednesday. And so, friends, look at this here from God's perspective. Why do we turn inward, or not, why do we not turn inwardly, but turn outwardly to the Word of God? Why do we open up the pages of Scripture? Because it is God's authority and His authority alone to speak on this topic. Amen? God is the only one who has the authority to speak with any type sovereignty, I guess you could say, on this topic. Because last time I checked, when I think about Scriptures and it's the Word of God, Paul tells Timothy that it's profitable for teaching, for correction, for rebuke, for training up in righteousness. And so we turn to the Scriptures to understand what God says in regards to this. So moving forward, we need to get rid of this idea that there's, well, many races. Because that is devised in the hearts and the minds of evil men. Men that have nefarious purposes. And they did so for nefarious purposes. When we think of the modern racial classification by skin color, did you guys know that's a relatively recent event when we think about human history? Really, it started about the 14th, 15th century, but the modern really classification of the races by skin color that we see today, that really came about more about the 17th, 18th century, end of the 16th century. And then you had people like Darwin who perpetuated it by coming up with this idea of evolution and how mankind evolved from apes, and that because he was a white Englishman, he decided that, well, he and his fellow people are the top of the food chain, and then as you got darker and you went down, as you went down from there and you got darker, well, then obviously, well, they're the closest to the apes, and so, well, you know, it's just, that's where this idea comes from, right? Not the whole idea, because it started around the 14th, 15th century, but the modern classification comes from really the 17th, 18th century that we really look at today. And so, I want us to realize, though, something. I said the modern classification. You know why I say that? Because while ancient societies realized that people, ancient societies recognized physical, ethnic, and cultural differences, they did not have a process, a concept, if you will, equivalent to our modern idea of race as an immutable biological category of skin color as the primary global divider. And so that's something that's relatively newer as we go through the human history. So racial hierarchies were not objective scientific discoveries, but they were invented to justify power dynamics. They were invented to justify exploitation of people that they thought were below them. And so these were evil men who were looking to justify their actions. But remember the words of Jesus that are on the screen behind me. Why do we have these things? Because we live in a fallen world. And Jesus said that It's out of the hearts of men that's going to come fornications and evil and thefts and murders and adulteries and deceit and sensuality and envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Brethren, every form of human ignorance is going to come from the hearts and the minds of men. And so is it any surprise that man would look to deceive one another? Is it any surprise that man would look to dominate one another? Friends and family, for the remainder of this lesson, I want us to use the Word of God. I want us to use the Word of God to guide us in our actions and in our thoughts. So what can we learn from the Scriptures on this topic? Well, first and foremost, the Bible divides us into nations. You guys know this, right? It divides us into tribes, into tongues, never by race. Well, why? Because genetically, there's only one race. Genetically, there's only one race, and it's called the human race. And so, what was the Scripture reading this morning? Well, it comes from Acts chapter 17, 24 through 26. Notice what it says on the screen behind me. The God who made the world and all the things in it, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, He does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He served by human hands, as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And He made from one man, don't let it be lost on you, He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries. So friends and family, when you look at that passage, from one man came all the people on this planet. So for example, Caucasians, Africans, Asians, Indians, Arabs, Jews, they're not different races. They are different ethnicities within the one race. And so if you were to take all of the different types of people, you take the different skin color, the different facial features, the different hair textures, and you were to examine them genetically, oh, by the way, which we've done, the scientific community, did you know that there's less than 0.2% difference? Brethren, that shows that 99.8% of us, we're all similar. And why are we all similar? Because what does it say on the screen? One man, every nation of mankind had come by Him who created us. You see, He created Adam and Eve, friends and family. And Adam and Eve then eventually, because of the sin and the fall of man, were kicked out of the garden. And then ever since then, you see all of the sin and the wickedness. Why did God destroy the world in a flood to begin with? Because the hearts and the minds of man were evil continuously. So you look at this information here this morning. All those different colors of skins, they have been caused, they have caused problems that we call racism, slavery, anguish, war, prejudice, division. But did you know that these differences of skin color, they're just different, they come about by different levels of melanin. Not melatonin, like I said to the kids on Wednesday. But then I thought about it for a second, and I said, well, wait a second, no, that's what puts us to sleep. No, melanin, not melatonin. There's a difference there, right? But, you know, so you think about that for a second. Well, what does that mean? Well, those who have less melanin, right, they're lighter. Those who have more melanin, they're darker. You know, and so again, we see the science proves the Bible's claims. The Bible doesn't prove science. Science proves the Bible, right? Archaeology, the Bible doesn't prove archaeology. Archaeology proves the Bible. And so you look at this information, the Bible also teaches us that all the people living today they come from were descendants of Noah's three sons. Because after they got off the ark, right, Noah and his Noah's three sons and their wives, they repopulated the earth. And the Bible told them that they were to spread out and fill the earth. But they chose not to do so. But the Bible also told us that the terrain, the environment, was vastly different post-flood than it was pre-flood. And so they had this wonderful environment that they were in where it provided for everything that they needed. So they said, why spread out when we have everything we need right here? So what does God do? God intervenes. And God intervenes, and He does what? He intervenes, and He separates them. He spreads them throughout the earth. He confuses their language. And as He does this, He basically creates smaller subgroups, if you will, that have different languages, so they can no longer communicate. It makes it more difficult. And so then they did what God had required them to do. They spread throughout the earth. And so now that we look at this information, did you know that the consensus is in the scientific community that if you go back to Noah and his wife and their sons, they were probably people of like middle brown color, a mid brown color, if you will. And you say, well, how did they come up with that consensus? Well, do you know that that's about 80 to 85% of the entire population? 80 to 85% of the population is mid-brown, right? And just from those that one family and those three couples, they said it could easily, when He spread them out throughout the earth, and all of a sudden you have things that start to adapt, like your melanin, it starts to adapt, like your blood adapts when you go from one environment to another, and things start to adapt. They said within two or three generations, scientists tell us today, that from just that one family, you would have all the various skin colors that we see on the world today. But brethren, there's still one human race. There's still one race of people. There's still descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so in the end, the Bible never distinguishes man by skin color. It never distinguishes man by physical appearance. It distinguishes man by tribal or national groupings, if you will. You could go throughout the Bible and see that as you study it out. So before we close this down, though, I want to transition for a minute. Because as we think about this on a little bit of a deeper scale in our responsibility, because I told you a minute ago that we could affect change. It's going to be slow change. It's going to be methodical change. But we could affect change one soul at a time if we're willing to do our part. But there's something that I want us to think about, because I'm here to tell you this morning that racism's never going to go away. Prejudice, it's not going away. It's not going away, because it's no different than what Jesus said in Mark chapter 7. He says, out of the heart of men proceed this whole list of things. And so racism isn't going to end, no more than murder and sexual immorality and every other form of evil is going to end. Why? Because you live in a fallen world. And so because we live in a fallen world, and man is its own worst enemy, brethren, you're still going to have these things. You say, well, Dave, that's not exactly a positive way to end the sermon. But, brethren, that's not how we're going to end the sermon. So as we transition for a minute, I want us to ask ourselves why these things happen. They happen because we live in a fallen world. Earlier I stated that we can slowly, methodically improve upon the situation, but it's going to take you doing your part. Do you know what your part is? Love. What is the first and greatest commandment? Can we all say it together? Keep going. Love the Lord your God with. I'm going to have to get some of you to reread that. We got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And the second in the greatest commandment is? Love your neighbor. Huh. Did that leave anybody out? Love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. So you think about this simple concept of love. A Christian is to be characterized by love for all people. And they're supposed to mirror the image of God. I know this because in James chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9 on the screen behind me, it says, if you are fulfilling the royal law according to the Scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You're doing well. But if you show partiality, which means prejudice, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. But if you show partiality or prejudice, you'll be convicted by the law as a transgressor. Friends and family, whose job is it to take vengeance? It's God's job. And in case you don't know, you can look that up, Romans chapter 12, about 17 through about 21 later on, and you're going to quickly start to learn something. That God said, when you become my disciple, when you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are to mirror your life after your Savior. You're to mirror your life. You're to lay your life down beside the Scriptures, and you're to allow it to affect change internally, and so that way it starts to project outwardly, so that the man who used to hate now learns to love. And so, friends, you think about that. We see that in the New Testament. We see that in the early church. When the Samaritans came into the early church, it was difficult for the Jews because the Jews hated the Samaritans. And it wasn't because of necessarily skin color, but it was because of going all the way back when they intermarried after they were taken into bondage, and the ones that were left behind intermarried and they became a mixed race, and that formed the hatred that then would, displayed itself and reared its ugly head for generations and generations and centuries after that. And so when we think of what James is telling us, that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, that command to love your neighbor includes everybody. As Christians, we are to be set apart from the world. And if we're set apart from the world, then there's no room for racism in your heart. There's no room for hate in our hearts. And unfortunately, there have been generations of Americans who claimed Christianity, and they were racist. And guess what? They're going to answer for that. They're going to pay the price for that. They're going to stand before a holy and righteous God and give an account of their lives, as the Scriptures teach in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. They're going to give an account of their lives, whether good or bad, and they're going to be judged. And so, friends and family, what is your role? We can't fix the horrors of the past, but we can improve upon today. You can make an improvement in your community. You can make an improvement in your world by loving your neighbor as yourself. And it's not based on skin color. It's not based on facial features or hair texture. It's based on them being created in the image of God, and it's based on them being children of God, and you having such gratitude in your heart for all that God has done for you through the cross of Jesus Christ and sending His Son to die for the world while we were yet sinners, while we were yet still unworthy. He says, brethren, you go and you love them as I loved you. As I overlooked their transgressions, or as I overlooked your transgressions and came anyways, you overlook the transgressions and you love them. Because he says in Romans 12, 17 and through 21, let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 17. I don't have this one on the screen behind me. Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 17 through 21. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want us to remember this because this is so very important. Romans chapter 12. I want us to read verses 17 through 21. I'm going to give you a second to get there. If you pull out your pew Bible, it's on page 1260, 1260. Notice what this passage says. Romans 12, starting in verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place for wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you'll heap burning coals upon their head. Do not become overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Friends, you look at that passage of Scripture. You look at James chapter 2 on the screen behind me. You look at 1 John 4 and 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And again, it's not based on skin color, not based on facial features, not based on hair texture. It's based on the fact that God so loved you that He sent His Son to die for the sins of mankind, all the sins of mankind. And so in like manner, we must sacrifice on behalf of others. We must love sacrificially to look like a mirror image of Christ. One of the greatest forms of love is to do what? Is to care so much for mankind that not only do you share God's love, you share His grace. You guys really know what His grace comes from. Last week we talked about we receive strength from the grace of God. That's His love, His kindness, His mercy. But that love and kindness and mercy and that grace of God isn't based on whether Thomas deserves it or not. It's not based on Zechariah and whether or not he earned it or not. It's based on what? It's based on the cross of Jesus Christ. It's based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So friends and family, we share then also the life-altering gospel. And when you share the life-altering gospel with people, it begins to change people with an open and honest heart. We teach them about the sacrifices of Christ and how there's redemption in, from sin. But that redemption only resides in Christ Jesus. And after someone gives themselves their life to Christ, we do what? We teach them to obey all that God has commanded us. You guys know this is the Great Commission, right? And so in order to do so, you got to love others. And you got to be willing to sacrifice on behalf of others. When we do that, we begin to see the people who were full of hate and anger. And they start to do what? They start to learn that they're to love one another. Be patient with others. Forgiving of others. Kind. Be kind towards others. Gentle. Be faithful to God and His Word. And when we start to do these things, people who were involved in all forms of evil activity, they begin to repent. Why? Because they're seeing the love of God for the first time. They're understanding the Word of God for the first time. And so friends, I'm not here to say that it's easy. I'm not here to say that it's going to be easy. I already told you that racism and prejudice, it's not going away because we live in a fallen world. But you can bring about change in your community. You can bring about change in the world. And it's going to be one soul at a time. And so as we close this down, it all begins and ends with love. It all begins and ends with sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has the ability to change the callous, evil hearts of men. And so friends and family, I have a question for you here this morning. Are you willing to do your part? Are you willing to do your part to bring about change within first your families, and then your communities, and then the world? Did you know that 12 people who influenced 120 people, that became 3,000 people, and then it continued to explode and grow from there, influenced the world during their generation? Are you willing to influence the world during your generation? If you're willing to do so, you got to pick up your cross. You got to be willing to die to self. Set aside the hurt and the pain and the suffering of the past and be willing to love others as God commands. And so friends and family, if we do our part and we love others and we teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not going to fix everybody, but it's going to start to penetrate the hearts of people who are honest seekers. Honest, clear-hearted seekers who want a different and better way. And then you're going to teach them, and they're going to then go out and start to do the same things that you did for them. And then you start to affect change slowly and methodically, but it's happening, but only if we do our part. If you hear this today and you hear this message, friends and family, I'm here to ask that if you've been studying with somebody, if you've been researching the Scriptures and you come to that realization that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you want to give your life to Christ and you no longer want to live for your own desires, but you want to live for God and what He wants you to do and how He wants you to live, then brethren, you can be baptized today. And God will add you to the kingdom. Your sins will be forgiven. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you do these things, friends and family, you become a child of God. You become an heir of God. But there's conditions that go along with that. We have to live faithfully unto God. If that is your goal, if that is your what you desire today, come forward as Patrick stands and sings.